Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 60 minutes on this 1st of October 2012, as I discuss week number 4 of the league where no contract is guaranteed. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can always follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or you can hit me up at facebook.com/Cyril Quinn, or go to my website, CyrilGeraldQuinn.com. Blog Talk Radio, for my Blog Talk Radio audience, you can find me on the chat line as well. So any questions or comments, no poll question tonight. I didn't feel like doing poll question. No, we have all season. Okay, we still have until February. Got plenty of poll questions, so no poll question tonight. As always, we begin with the game of the week. A lot of good games, so this was not, for the second straight week, not an easy choice, but last night, to me, stood out. Philadelphia 19, the Giants 17, divisional rival NFC East. Philadelphia doing what they do, and that is beat the Giants. I mean, Philadelphia in the regular season, and even in the playoffs, last time they met, of course, was the divisional game in 2008, where the Eagles beat the Giants before they lost to the Cardinals in that NFC Championship. Eagles just own the Giants. That's all there is to it. I mean, they own them. Even going back to the days when Buddy Ryan and Bill Parcells were coaching. I mean, Eagles, just some teams just have your number. I mean, Denver, New England, you know, to a lesser extent, some teams just absolutely have your number, and there's no question that the Eagles own the Giants. This game was about the Philadelphia running game. 191 yards rushing, over 170 in the second half. The Eagles stuck with the run after struggling with it in the first half. Vic, 19 to 30, 241, touchdown, and the most importantly, no interceptions, no fumbles. Eagles commit no turnovers for the first time all season. LeSean McCoy had a big game, 23 carries for 123 yards. DeSean Jackson, 6 catches for 99 yards. He's been a giant killer as well. The Giants are banged up. You know, there's no two ways about it. Giants are banged up. Knicks was out. So that the offensive lineman is out. So, you know, if you're a Giants, you had to be happy where you were at. You know, really playing your C-plus game, to be honest with you, and still having a chance to win on the road and within a division. I didn't like how the Giants handled the final possession. You know, 15 seconds left. I understand you don't have any timeouts. You're Tom Coughlin. You got to give your kicker. I mean, excuse me. You got to give Eli a chance to make a play. You know Lawrence Tynes' range is, you know, doesn't go beyond 50 yards. I mean, it doesn't. He's a very accurate kicker. He's made clutch kicks throughout the course of his career, won two NFC championships with his kicks. But again, you know, we're not dealing with Sebastian Jankowski here. So, you know, 54-yard field goal, I didn't have any confidence that he was going to make that kick. And, you know, 15 seconds left, that's enough to get a quick sideline pass of 5-6 yards. and get him within, you know, within striking distance. Obviously, the pass interference hurt, killed the Giants. The Ramsey's Barton, the one questionable call. It was very questionable. The one, I mean, it was two questionable calls on the pass interferences. The Asamoah one before that was questionable, and this one, this was almost like a makeup call, to be honest with you. So that definitely hurt the Giants in that last particular drive. You know, with 4 games into the season, good win for the Eagles. Not gonna say a bad loss for the Giants, though. If you're a Giants fan, you know you're 2-2, but your two losses have come within a division. Of course, opening night to Dallas at MetLife, so you certainly don't like that aspect. But again, you're 2-2. I think the Giants are fine. I think they'll be, when once they get healthy, they'll be okay. Big win for Philadelphia. I mean, this is the second impressive win Philadelphia has had this season. The beating Baltimore obviously was a great win. I'm not going to go too crazy about Philadelphia because I have to see them maintain this level of consistency as far as their running attack. I understand, you know, in games that Philadelphia is rushing percentage has been over 50%, they've won. The one game that they lost, their rushing percentage was like 30% when they just threw the ball all over the place against Arizona, and they could have easily lost when they had about 40 to 50 throws in the Cleveland game, inferior football team. It's not algebra. I mean, Philadelphia runs the ball. If they run the ball and don't turn over the ball, they are one of the best teams in football, period. I mean, physically, Philadelphia can play with anybody. Physically, Philadelphia is as impressive of a team that there is in the NFL, physically. Their speed, they have skilled players at all positions. They can rush the passer. I mean, they can do a lot of things. I mean, talent is not the question with the Eagles. But again, you know, is Andy Reid going to stick with the run? Can Michael Vick protect the football? Those are questions that will certainly get answered as we move along throughout the course of the season. But with that being said, great win for the Eagles. Not a bad loss for the Giants. Still just one game behind. But though you don't like the fact that those losses are within your division. 7 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour. We're just getting started here on this latest edition. Can you believe it's October already? Halloween? This is crazy. But it is the 1st of October, and started here on this latest edition of the NFL show. When we return, a ambush in Mile High, and San Diego gets back on track. We'll talk about that. We'll do some AFC West when we return on this latest edition of the NFL show. We'll be right back. Hours. We look back at week 4 of NFL action. Denver crushes Oakland 37-6. Denver improves to 2-2 on the season. Oakland falls to 1-3. Raiders are flat out one of the worst teams in the NFL. I mean, there's no getting around it. Even though their talent wouldn't dictate that if you were to look at their roster, but they are. I mean, they play, they're a sloppy team. They just look like they're in, going in 20 different directions. Denver, this was all Denver. 500 yards of offense total, over 503 yards of total offense compared to Oakland's 237. Peyton Manning, clearly his best game as a Denver, as a Bronco, 30 of 38, 338, three touchdowns. Willis McGahee also had a big game, 19 carries for 112 yards and a touchdown. No stats to show the Raiders of note. You know, this, like, the Raiders are who they are. And they're, you know, they are a team that, again, you don't, you can't trust. They're a team that has some ability, but they're just, they're just a bad football team. And, you know, I don't know which was, I don't know who's worse, them or Kansas City in that particular division, but this looks like a two-horse race in this AFC West up until this point. San Diego improves to 3-1 with a 37-20 road victory over Kansas City. Kansas City falls to 1-3. Nice bounce-back victory for the Chargers, who got smacked around by the Falcons last week. Phillip Rivers, an efficient 18-23, 209, two touchdowns, one interception. This game was all about turnovers. Kansas City had five turnovers. They had six total for the game, including three fumbles by Jamaal Charles, who did have 17, did rush for 92 yards on 17 carries and a touchdown. Jackie Battle had a nice all-around game, had a two touchdowns, one receiving, one rushing, one receiving, 15 carries, 39 yards, also had four catches for 42 yards. David Bowe did have seven catches for 108 yards. And a touchdown. Again, Kansas City is a team that you, like, despite what happened last week against the Saints, shows you where the Saints are to put, you know, for them to allow a team like Kansas City to come in their building and beat them. Kansas City is just a, you know, I thought Kansas City would be better than this, but, you know, their defense is just dreadful. I mean, their defense is bad. They, you know, Castle hasn't been good this year. And clearly, that division right now, Denver, it's all about Denver and San Diego. They are going to battle it out in that division. Kansas City and Oakland look to be just lost completely, even after just 4 weeks, with those two, with those particular two teams being 3-3. San Diego is up San Diego now in first place in that AFC West, which we thought at the beginning of the year would be wide open, but right now that is absolutely not, that's absolutely not the case. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll have top five quarterbacks of the week and Atlanta and the Falcons survivor scare. We'll have that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday, of the NFL show. We'll be right back.
In Charming Town, they call the rising sun. It's been the ruin of many a poor girl. And oh God, I'm one. If I listen to my mama, Lord, I'll be home to stay. But I was young and foolish, had some rather little strength. Go tell my baby sister, never do what I've done. Sister of the house in Charming Town, we call the rising
Welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Show as we look back at week four action in the league where no contract is guaranteed. Of course, tonight, Dallas and Chicago, which should be a game, should be a defensive game as the Cowboys and Bears square off. Both of these teams are at 2-1. Both of these teams coming off unimpressive wins last week. You know, the Cowboys beating the Buccaneers and the Bears taking out the Rams. Matt Forte will play in this game. I don't understand, you know, with somebody like Michael Bush, why you would rush him back. It seems like, you know, saw that yesterday with C.J. Spiller and also Fred Jackson. Those two probably should not have played. Could have rested them for another week. I mean, it certainly would not have hurt. Again, Forte, you know, he's supposed to be out, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, you know, at least. You know, he's missed basically what, just one game, and now he's back. We'll see how effective he is. He'll start. I don't know how much he'll play, but he certainly will start. Again, should be a very physical, defensive-oriented football game. Top five quarterbacks of the week coming in at number five, Tom Brady, who had a huge day yesterday. We'll certainly get into that when we talk about Buffalo and New England. But for the season, Brady has already thrown for well over 1,200 yards, has completed 66% of his passes, and has 7 touchdowns to just 1 interception on the year. Coming in at number four, Joe Flacco, who simply just played great this year, taking his game to another level and has become a legit franchise quarterback, over 1,269 yards passing, 7 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, and it is clear to me that it is Joe Flacco's team without question. Coming in at number three, a guy who, again, I said this last week, and you know, you probably won't be able to say this about him anymore, him being the most underrated player in the league, possibly, definitely a quarterback. Matt Schaub has been phenomenal. 7 touchdowns, just 1 interception, has led Houston to the best record in football at 4-0. A completion percentage, a quarterback rating of 105.3. He's been phenomenal throughout. He's been phenomenal, and again, when he's on the field, when he's healthy, they are as complete of a team. As there is in the NFL. I mean, that's all there is to it. He's been playing great. Coming in at number two, RG3, who I don't know if I can remember in recent memory, I've seen a rookie quarterback come in and make this kind of impact in his first four games. I mean, even his first four games, Cam Newton, you know, had one bad game his first four games. Has not had a bad – RG3 has not had one bad game. Completing almost 70% of his passes. He also, you know, ranks in the top 16 in rushing and has over 1,000 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, and also has four or five touchdowns rushing as well. Played great and just, you know, for a Redskins team that, frankly, is not that talented, he's had them in every game. I mean, the Redskins could have easily – I'm not going to say they should be 4-0, but – they have been in every game. Their losses have been close losses. And right now he's playing great football. And at number one, undisputed number one, as far as I'm concerned, Matt Ryan has led Atlanta to a 4-0 record. 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, the number one rated quarterback in the league at 112, over 1,162 yards passing. Again, if there was a MVP vote taken today, there's no question it would be Matt Ryan. I mean, he's been that good. He's been that great. You saw what he did yesterday to help Atlanta win their game. So those are your top five quarterbacks of the week. As we move on to the AFC North, Cincinnati. Well, the AFC, Cincinnati crushing Jacksonville 27-10. Cincinnati is a quiet 3-1. Jacksonville falls to 1-3. Complete domination by Cincinnati. They outrushed Jacksonville 138-69. They held Maurice Jones-Drew in check, 38 yards rushing. Andy Dalton had a nice day, 20-31, 244. Touchdown, did have one pick, also had a touchdown run. A.J. Green continues his splendid year, 6 catches, 117 yards, and one touchdown. Class of that day, I mean, they're going to be battling out. They're going to be battling out for that division with the Baltimore Ravens. There's no question about it. Those two teams are clearly the class of that division right now. I probably give Baltimore a slight edge because they have more experience. And Flacco, as good as Dalton's playing, Flacco is playing that much better, a little bit better. But the gap is not that big. I mean, it's 1-1A. I mean, it's absolutely 1-1A. Both teams are playing extremely well, and again, looking forward to Baltimore destroys Cincinnati. Cincinnati called them on the wrong night. Talking about the Art Modell ceremony, so I don't toss that game aside, but I don't put too much into that until opening night game, week one. You'll learn more about these two teams in terms of how they match up, how they meet. Atlanta survives Carolina, 30-28. Atlanta proves a 4-0. Carolina falls to 1-3. Carolina played well in this game. I mean, despite the gaudy numbers that Matt Ryan put up, he got knocked around, was sacked 7 times, was picked off once. Again, extremely winnable game for Carolina. Matt Ryan goes 25 of 40, 369, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Huge day for Michael Turner, who has almost been the forgotten man in that offense, though Roddy White and Julio Jones, who, by the way, is struggling, to say the least, with just one catch for 30 yards. But Turner, 13 carries, 103 yards, also had 3 catches for 68 yards and a touchdown reception of 60 yards. Big play in this game. Roddy White, Atlanta's driving. And Matt Ryan completes a 59-yard bomb to Roddy White, which got them in immediate field goal range. Matt Ryan cleared a couple passes, and Matt Bryant nailed a 40-yard field goal to get the win. Again, tough loss for Carolina. I mean, you're playing a division rival on the road. You're coming off that embarrassment against the Giants, and you had a chance to steal a game, and just wasn't able to get the job done. That's it's a bitter pill to swallow. If you're Atlanta, hey, you can't blow out everybody. You take those and you keep it moving. Again, it's a divisional game. The teams know each other extremely well, but Atlanta continues to own the Carolina Panthers. 22 minutes after the 8 o'clock on this latest edition of the NFL Show. When we return, a shootout in Lambeau and a turn of events in upstate New York. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Show, 1st of October 2012. Looking back at a week number four. Of course, NFL at week four will be capped off tonight. Dallas and Chi-Town. Should be a very good game. Those two teams have been good defensively this year so far. Chicago, you know, trying to keep up with the Minnesota Vikings. And, yes, the Minnesota Vikings. We'll certainly get to that, what a surprise that is. And the Dallas Cowboys trying to keep pace with their hated rivals, the Philadelphia Eagles. New Orleans falls again to Green Bay, 20-27. Saints are just absolutely in the tank, 0-4. Green Bay improves to 2-2. Drew Breesy, 35-54, over 400 yards, 400 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no 446 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Marcus Colson had a big day, 9 catches, 153 yards, and a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers, 31-41, 319, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. Big day for Jordy Nelson as well, 8 catches, 93 yards, and a touchdown. Garrett Hartley missed a 48-yard field goal that would have gave New Orleans the win. Here's the thing, and it was, you know, New Orleans comes down. They are well within field goal range. They get a 10-yard holding penalty. After Hartley made a 43-yard field goal, it wouldn't have given them the win. It would have put them ahead. After Hartley made a 43-yard field goal, they get a holding penalty to push it back to 53. Then Green Bay gets an encroachment penalty to move it up to 48, and Hartley misses the 48-yard field goal, and Green Bay was able to out the clock with a first down to James Jones. New Orleans, neither one of these teams, first of all, Green Bay is just not that good right now. I mean, I was not impressed with Green Bay at all. I expected more out of them coming off that loss, that bitter loss to Seattle, where they were cheated. I mean, let's be real about it, with the call by their, you know, the replacements. And I just didn't see, you know, there's something missing with that team right now. And it's just more about their defense not playing well. I mean, Drew Brees could put 400 and three touchdowns on anybody. He's that good of a player. But again, it's just something missing with the Packer team. You know, nobody fears playing in Lambeau Field anymore. They could be coming back to the pack. You know, it could be just one of those years. You know, they won the Super Bowl last year. They were 15-1. You know, they're still early in the season, and that two losses have came at, you know, at the hands of two good teams. One of them, you know, San Francisco, obviously a Super Bowl contender. Seattle took one of the toughest places to play, and a game that they frankly probably should have won. So, you know, you could make a case that this should be 3-1, but they just, again, I don't like how the Packers are playing right now. I still think New Orleans will have some moments during this season where I don't think they'll completely go into a tank, but, you know, it's a 4-12, 5-11 season written all, you know, it's looking 4-12, 5-11 as each week passes. New England destroys Buffalo 52-28, one of the just crazier games you'll see. This game was 21-7 in the third quarter. Buffalo looking like they were going to just run away from it. And all of a sudden, New England, Buffalo wants to, you know, get into a track meet with the New England Patriots, which was a mistake. New England scored on 6 straight possessions. Buffalo had no semblance of a running game. Told you earlier about the two banged up running backs, Spiller and Fred Jackson, who frankly shouldn't have played. I mean, you have a very good back in Tashard Choice, and he could produce at a high level when given the opportunity. So you had him, you didn't use him. New England runs all over Buffalo. I mean, New England runs, they have 200 yard rushers, Bolden and Stephen Ridley, both with over 100 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns between them. Welker, Gronkowski, I mean, it was a fantasy. If you had some New England Patriots on your fantasy team, you just had a ball, and I did. I had you know, Brady and Welker on my teams, and it was just, you know, it was a kid. You were a kid in a candy store, because it was, there were a lot of points being put up by those, you know, by those guys, and getting 45-14 in the second half, and it was just, you know, it was a lambasting, to say the least, a absolute woodshed special. Anytime you allow Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw the ball, close to 40 times, you're going to lose a football game. I mean, yeah, that's all there is to it. You want to allow, him the leeway that you would allow Tom Brady, you're not going to get Tom Brady results. four touchdowns, but also four interceptions. So, again, a wild game, over 1,000 yards of total offense. New England had 580 yards. Buffalo also moved the ball as well with 438 yards of offense, but certainly was nowhere near being enough. These teams are at 2-2 on the season. Arizona wins another tough, close game, overtime game, 24-21. They improved to 4-0 on the season. Miami falls to 1-3. Tough loss for Miami, up 13-0 at halftime, seemingly catching Arizona in a letdown week where, you know, coming off the big win against Philadelphia. But you have to give Arizona a lot of credit, despite the fact that Ryan Hill had a career day and Brian Hartline, 12 catches, 253 yards and a touchdown, also had a monster day, able to get the win. Kevin Kyle played well in this game, 29-48, 324, three touchdowns. Did have two picks, but was sacked 8 times. So showed some toughness bouncing back. But bouncing back and having an excellent day. Andre Roberts, the receiver who has had a very good year, 6 catches, 118 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Arizona is 11-2 in their last 13 games, going dating back to last season. That includes 5 overtime wins. They know how to win close games, and you know, we see it in baseball with the Baltimore Orioles winning all those extra innings and one more game. When you keep winning those games, it becomes habitual, and it becomes like you get to a point to where you just expect to win those type of games, and you don't have any fear of losing. And that's where Arizona is right now as far as these close games. I mean, overtime, you're almost surprised when they don't win an overtime game. Again, Arizona atop their division at 4-0. I will certainly be looking forward to that San Francisco-Arizona game. Arizona game when they play. That'll be a tremendous game to watch. 347-215-6180. When we return, a miners in the Motor City and a destruction in Reliance Stadium. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. After the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL, I'll be taking you to the top of the hour as we look back at week 4 of NFL football. Dallas and Chicago about to kick off in a couple minutes down in Cowboys Stadium, of course. So that should be a very, very good game. Looking forward to that. Again, so it'll come down to which one. It's going to come down to which team protects their quarterback, does the better job of protecting the quarterback. Both very good offensive lines. You have two beasts in terms of pass rushes with DeMarcus Ware and also Julius Peppers. So this should be a fun game to watch. Two of the most historic franchises in the NFL, I mean, Chicago and George Halas, and of course, Cowboys and Landry and Avery Aikman. So should be a very good and entertaining game. Minnesota, don't look now. The Vikings are 3-1 as they take out the Detroit Lions 20-13. Detroit falls to 1-3. Very impressive win for the Vikings, coming off the best win of the season, as far as I'm concerned, as far as beating San Francisco, who was rolling going into that game. You follow San Francisco win, and the reason why I'm so impressed with this win is because this is a flavor of the week league. I mean, from week to week, you don't know how these teams are going to respond to losses, wins, injuries, controversy off the field. The human element definitely plays a big time role with NFL, with the NFL. It's a thing about that you love about the NFL, you just don't know. So when you see a team follow up a great win with a divisional win on the road, that is extremely impressive. Leslie Frazier is doing a great job with that team. Adrian Peterson, 21 for 102. Special teams, they had a kickoff and a punt return for a touchdown. Percy Harvin set the tone with a 105-yard kickoff return for a touchdown game. Then you had Marcus Sherrill with a 77-yard punt return for a touchdown. Jim Schwartz said the special teams coach would not be fired. That's nice. So that he's going to keep his job at least for another week. Detroit, to me, and I thought Detroit would take a step back this year, but they've taken like 5 steps back. They're a bad football team right now. It's just a bad football team. And we say the same thing about Detroit every week, but it doesn't change. They have no leadership. They're a team that tries to overwhelm you with their talent. And as talented as they are, with the likes of Ndamukong Suh and Calvin Johnson, they're not good enough to play that kind to overwhelm you with their talent. They're not. Defensively, I don't know what they're doing. Again, offensively, to me, they don't have an identity. Like, outside of throwing the ball at Calvin Johnson, what can they hurt you with? What do they try to hurt you with? Teams are starting. In the NFL, these defensive coordinators get paid money too. So they're gonna find out ways to try to take away your number one weapon or try to limit your number one weapon. You see Calvin Johnson go only 5 catches for 54 yards yesterday. And on days where he's not Superman, they have absolutely no chance of winning. So again, I just don't know what the identity of this Detroit team is, to be honest with you. And they are 6-10. So starting off 5-0 last year, they're 6-10. So something to keep your eye on, in the Motor City. Houston, all over Tennessee, 38-14. Just a absolute just woodshed special. Houston showing you why they are the most complete team in football right now. Matt Schaub would be neck and neck. He'd be close to Matt Ryan as far as MVP. The only reason why he probably wouldn't get it because they have the Texans have Arian Foster, so Foster would hurt him as far as MVP votes if he were to take that vote today. But Schaub has been phenomenal this particular season. Again, I gave you the numbers with the top 5 quarterbacks. 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. In this game, he was 20 of 28, 202 yards, 2 touchdowns. Houston's defense came up big. They had 2 interception returns for touchdowns. They knocked Jake Locker out. They did give up 141 yards rushing to Chris Johnson, but it meant nothing unless you were a fantasy owner. Again, just complete domination. 38-14. I thought I was dead wrong about this game, and the Vegas people showed just showed you that they know more than me, because this line was 13, and they were absolutely on the money. I thought the game would be played with inside of a touchdown, or less than 10 points. It being a divisional game, but that was not the case. Houston just dominated Tennessee. Finished. Who knows how long Locker's going to be out? Hasselbeck is finished, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he doesn't have anything in the tank, and you know, Houston right now, again, best team in football. I mean, that's all it is to it. Does that mean anything right now? No, but they are certainly playing at an extremely high level. Seattle falls to St. Louis 19-13. Both teams are at 2-2. Classic letdown game following what happened Monday night with Seattle. Get the emotional win with the whole replacement officials coming off a short week, traveling on the road. Still was definitely a winnable game, but they were just not able to generate enough offense. Russell Wilson had 3 interceptions. Marshawn Lynch did have another big day, 20 carries, 118 yards and a touchdown. Star of this game was the Ram kicker, Greg Zuerlein, who had kicked a 58 and 60-yard field goals. So this guy just, can kick him out the stadium. He was starting this game that really lacked offense. Danny Amendola did have a touchdown catch off a fake field goal, which was a beautifully designed play. Amendola was wide open, and they were able to stay onside and not draw a penalty. So St. Louis 2-2 against Seattle, falls to 2-2. We'll talk more about the NFC West. Very good division up until this point. When we return, an ambush at MetLife, and by the skin of their teeth, the Washington proves the 2-2. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back.
When you walk to the garden, you gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, He's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at His command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. Keep the devil down in the hole.
43 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this last edition of the NFL Show. Scoreless in Dallas, just opening drive for the Cowboys. Just about 12 and a half minutes left. Cowboys are about at about midfield as they take their opening drive, 3rd and 7 now. So we'll certainly keep tabs on that game throughout the course of the show for the remaining time we have with in this particular show. San Francisco just did whatever they wanted to the New York Jets. It was basically just like an exhibition, 34-0. San Francisco bounces back nicely off their loss to Minnesota. Jets are who they are. The Jets, complete domination. San Francisco over the Jets to 145 yards of total offense. Carlos Rogers had a 51-yard fumble recovery when Santonio Holmes was knocked out of the game. He tossed the ball up in the air inexplicably. I don't know what, you know, just, I mean, if you're hurt, you're hurt. But just, you know, keep the ball on the ground. I didn't know what he was doing. I don't know what he was doing on that particular play. He could be out for a couple of weeks. San Francisco did what San Francisco does, play great defense and run the football. 44 carries for 245 yards. Sanchez, 13-29, 103 yards, no touchdowns, and one pick. People, of course, everybody, and you knew this was coming. You know, put Tim Tebow in, as if Tim Tebow would have did anything against that defense. And I'm sure Tim Tebow was on the sidelines, like saying, like, please don't put me in, please, just let me do punts and let me do my packages where I put me in for a play here, a play there. But man, I mean, don't, you know, I do not want to play quarterback against this defense. You know, runs out of the day. Sanchez is our quarterback. You know, we got our ass kicked yesterday. I mean, the Jets are just a train wreck. The Jets, again, I'll be shocked if Rex Ryan is the coach next year. And again, they don't have a court. The Jets, I don't know about the Jets' future right now, because Sanchez is not the guy. Okay, he's not the guy, and we know Tim Tebow is not the guy. So to me, you don't have a quarterback. You have a disgruntled cornerback who, yeah, is a great player, one of the best players in the league with a torn ACL. You don't have a running game. Nobody is scared of you. You are a classic definition of a bully team that you can beat up matter of fact, they're not even a bully team anymore, because at least bullies can beat up people that, you know, they can't fight for themselves. They can't even beat the Jets. Can't even, you know, they're not even knocking out those teams. Those teams don't even have fear of them. Don't have fear of the Jets anymore. So the Jets are just, you know, they kind of, you know, they are a loss. They are. If there's such thing as a bad 2-2, the Jets are a bad 2-2. Redskins survived a scare. I shouldn't say a scare, but survived the Buccaneers 24-22, improved to 2-2 on the season. Tampa Bay falls to 1-3. Redskins were in control of this game at 21-3. Then you had two things happen. You had their kicker miss a chip shot of a field goal at 41 yards, and then Connor Barth, you know, makes a 57-yard field goal, and that changed the complete momentum of the game. From then on, Tampa Bay, it was all Tampa Bay in the second half. But RG3 able to take the Redskins down the field and set up Condiff, who got another chance, and he barely made a 41-yard field goal to probably save his job. Another just phenomenal performance out of RG3, 323, a touchdown. Also, he had a touchdown rushing. He Alfred Morris, big day, 21 for 113. Redskins, you know, it's been a formula for the Redskins offensively. I mean, just that is to run the football down your throats. 160 yards rushing. They have 474 yards of total offense. I thought the play calling and was better from the standpoint of of Griffin not taking as many hits, though he did get lit up on that last drive. But that basically was it as far as compared to how many hits he had been taking over the course of the first three games. Didn't see too much triple option. They allowed him to sit back in the pocket and throw, you know, and throw from the pocket, which, again, right, he was right on the money. I mean, this guy, you know, that's what makes him special. Besides the natural God-given athletic ability, he can, you know, he has a cannon for an arm. And he can, you know, he's accurate inside. He can be accurate within the pocket. So, again, good win for the Redskins on the road. They improved a 2-1 on the road, 2-0 against the NFC South as they brace for another NFC South, this time the undefeated Atlanta Falcons next week. Fred Davis also had a very good game, 4 catches for 70 yards. A couple of strange things happened with the Redskins off the field. He had one, I mean, well, you know, within the game and off the field, yeah, one, he had a headset malfunction on the final drive for RG3. Santana Moss thinks it was done intentionally. And then you had Aldrick Robinson getting knocked out by Brandon Merriweather, who was supposed to play. Robinson had a concussion. Merriweather, tweaked the knee that was already banged up. So both those guys were inactive for this game. Who knows their status for next week. When we return, we'll talk about the caste system of the NFL and look ahead to week number 5. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Saturday morning. Excuse me. You know I do that almost all the time. The NFL show. We'll be right back. After the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL show. Still no score in Dallas. Chicago has the ball now. Forte left the game with the apparent injuries on the sideline now. Don't know how serious it is as Michael Bush is in. Again, I don't know why Forte played. Why they, like, to me, when you have somebody, Michael Bush is a legit starting NFL running back. I mean, you're not talking about, there's not a big drop-off from Matt Forte to Michael Bush. It really is not, to be honest with you. They're retaping his ankle now. So, I don't know why Forte played. They played Forte. But, you know, NFL guys want to get, you know, NFL, you know, that's what the coaches do. I mean, they're going to get their guys back as soon as possible off if they're not seriously injured. But, again, I would not have rushed Matt Forte back with a Michael Bush being his backup. Look at the NFL right now through 4 weeks, the quarter poll. Of course, everybody has a chance yet. You know, Pittsburgh had a bye week. I'll break down the NFL right now like this. It's like a caste system. I mean, you have the rich, the middle class, and the poor. And in that middle, and most of the teams right now are just in the middle. And with the middle class, there's just not a middle class, and that's it. You have, to me, upper middle class, middle, and lower middle class. The rich, Atlanta, Baltimore, Houston, San Francisco, you know, somebody, the poor, Cleveland, the Raiders, Kansas City, Jacksonville. Everybody else is in the middle. Even the Green Bay Packers, even Pittsburgh Steelers, even New England. I'll put it in, out of respect, I probably would put the Giants in the rich, to be honest with you. I'll probably put the Giants up there. They get the champions' respect. Even the Eagles, I'll put them upper middle class. They're not rich. But most of these teams, like, 80% of the league, to me, is in the middle. And that's why you see a lot of these crazy, wild games. And that's part of the reason why this league is so unpredictable from week to week. And you're still trying to figure out where a lot of these teams are at. Again, 4 games, you know, a lot of people say the season doesn't start till, you know, after Thanksgiving. Or till November. So you don't get a feel. You don't get a feel of a team until, you know, midway through the season, week 8 or so. So you know, it's still early. still early, but I mean, certain teams are just done. I mean, you know, Kansas City, New Orleans, Jacksonville, the Raiders, I'm leaving a team out. Cleveland, those teams aren't doing anything. They're not going anywhere this year. And also, remember coming into the season, you know, I thought the NFC South was one of the toughest divisions in football, and the NFC West would be, you know, one of the worst. How's that work now? NFC South is a joke. I mean, outside of Atlanta, the rest of the teams in that division are 2-10. Saints are 0-4. NFC West, you have two teams. You have Arizona at 4-0. You have San Francisco 3-1. And the bottom, the two, you know, teams to follow are 2-2. There's no weak links in that division. I mean, the Rams have played well this year. Even in defeat, the Rams have played well. I mean, Chicago game, you know, they didn't. Chicago game, they didn't. They were awful. But, you know, that's one game on the road against a great defense. Should have beat Detroit. You know, Seattle's lost to, you know, Arizona. Losing a divisional game out on the road against the Rams, not a bad loss for Monday night. Coming off a short week on a Monday night, an emotional Monday night game against the Packers. So, again, these teams, most of these teams are right in the middle. They're not that many. You know, they're only a handful of just, you know, they're only a handful of awful teams, and only a couple of teams that are right now. Looking ahead to next week, four games stand out. Matt Ryan will come to D.C. as the undefeated Falcons will take on the Washington Redskins. It should be a very entertaining game. I don't even want to think about Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Tony Gonzalez against that Redskins. Oh, my goodness. I mean, RG3 might have to score. He might have to pull a Denard Robinson and account for like 400 or 500 yards of all-purpose offense to keep the Redskins in that game. But again, you never know in the NFL what can happen. It should be a very entertaining game. Nobody's blowing out the Redskins either in their two losses, so they play everybody close as well. You have also Philadelphia at Pittsburgh, which should be a great matchup. Pittsburgh coming off a bye. Philadelphia coming off, again, an emotional, physical divisional win against the Giants. Pittsburgh, you know, this is a nice setup for Pittsburgh. Nice setup for them. Coming off a bye, and you're facing a team that facing a Philadelphia team at home, coming off a physical game. So, you know, Pittsburgh should be a very good game. And Polamalu and Harrison did practice today, so certainly, I anticipate that those two players will return to the Steelers and can't return soon enough for a Pittsburgh defense that has struggled mightily this year. Houston at the Jets, good luck. My goodness, I mean, geez, to have to face San Francisco and Houston back to back, you won't find that. That's the toughest two game stretch in football without question right now. So you could see Tim Tebow next week. I would not be surprised. Wouldn't be the least bit surprised if you saw Tim Tebow next week. Game of the week, probably, as far as attention, would be Denver and New England. Brady, Peyton Manning, two best quarterbacks of this generation. That should be interesting to see as New England hosts the Denver Broncos. Again, I mentioned it earlier, Denver historically has had New England's number. That should be a very fun game to watch. I'm definitely looking forward to that. We will return next week with another edition of the NFL Show. Have a great evening. See you next week.